How's everybody tonight? Wow, it's an honor. It's an honor. Thank you. In fact, actually, the Lord is honored that you guys decided to show up tonight. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may sit down. God is good. Amen. Taking Brother Lambert's phrase. Well, it says God's phrase, actually. Yeah, right. God is good. Thank you, Lord. I take the privilege. You know, I would never have pictured myself. Like, I always say it, but, you know, it's such a awesomeness of God that I can speak the word of God before his precious people, you know. And because he loved you guys, he loved his body. Yeah, he loved his body, and you know, he is make sure that, you know, that they are fed. And not just, you know, anybody can preach a good word, you know. But it's the anointing that makes a difference. You know, it could be very simple, but with the anointing, man, that really makes the difference. Amen. But once again, thank you for coming tonight. Ah, hallelujah. Okay. Where do we start? Okay. You know, a couple Sundays ago, we had just witnessed a few Sundays ago, the graduation of our first discipleship class. Amen. That was what, a couple of Sundays ago, yeah? Yeah. And, you know, they have obtained greater clarity and stronger foundation of who they are in Christ, and also know of how to communicate to other people. Amen. Yeah. So that's actually my title tonight is the cost of becoming a true disciple of Jesus. Amen. In Luke 6, 47-48 in NLT, verse 47 says, "I will show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and follows it. It is like a person who building a house, who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built." Amen. You know, it doesn't matter if you are just young in the Lord, or you are the lowest in the kingdom, or the highest in a kingdom, you are not exempt, you know, from the storms of life. It comes. You know, when we think that, okay, I mean, I made it good. I mean, everything is doing good right now. Yeah? But then, like I think I mentioned last time, that, you know, when a door that is ready to be opened for you, yeah? And then, you know, everything is good, but then all of a sudden, things going not your way. You know, you're getting all these challenges. See what's going on? So I am living in that place where I preached last week, or the last time. Because everything is like, my God, what happened? What happened to the presence of God? What happened to the anointing I was feeling? It was gone. But praise God, you know, that we can live by faith. You know, we can live by faith and not by our feelings. Yeah? Amen. So, praise God that I can live by faith. Amen. So, yeah. So, I want to share with you what is in my heart to share with you tonight. And then, that God gave me this title, The Cost of becoming a true disciple of Jesus. Okay, turn with me to Luke 14. Luke 14, and we're going to start with from 25 all the way down to 35. And I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." Now let me emphasize that word, "great multitudes." It means there's a crowd, yeah. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, yeah, 12 years old, he was already drawing crowds to himself. And you know what? Not just any crowd, yeah. They were the religious teachers. So not just anybody, yeah, but these are all teachers. And they were all amazed of his understanding, of all his answers, yeah. So, and then 20 years after, he's still preaching to them. Yeah? Because what? He started 30, right? So 20 years after. Wait. 12. What, 20 years? I guess. What about that, 20 years? So why is that? Well, why do, massive crowds constantly follows him? Why is that? I believe because he has all the answers. Yeah? He has all the answers. In fact, he is the answer. He is the answer. Amen? What that song go? He's the answer to the world today. Something like that. He is the answer of the world today. Amen. So he is the answer. Yeah? In fact, a certain drawing people, you know, Kalei and I was always amazed. You know, I don't know if it ever happened to you, but whenever we go to a store, a restaurant, or a convenience store, we go inside, maybe we see a couple. Or sometimes it's empty. Yeah? So we take our orders and wait. And all of a sudden, somebody come in. So by the time we pay for our stuff, there is a crowd inside. Did that ever happen to you? Huh? You know what that tells me? That God had placed in you, in me, a spirit of leadership. See, when you're a leader, they follow you. Yeah? When you are a leader, they follow you. You know? Maybe somebody just walking by and then, Starbucks. You're just passing by Starbucks and then all of a sudden, oh, you know what, honey? Let's go inside Starbucks. Oh, I think I like drink coffee. You know? But actually, they are drawing from that spirit in you, their leadership. Because at that time, they didn't want to drink coffee. At that time, they didn't want to eat. But just because you were in there, they were drawn to that. Remember that. Just, you know, put that into a test. You ever thought about that? Amen. Okay, verse 26 says, if anyone, that was 25, yeah? 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, my goodness. How's that word hate? Huh? How's that word hate? You know, hate is a very strong word. Yeah? It's an intense, passionate dislike for someone or something. Yeah. So you think that Jesus actually is saying that, being he's the king of love, that, you know what, if you don't love me, then, oh no, if you don't hate your wife, don't hate your husband, you don't hate your mom, and so on, so on, so on, then you cannot be my disciple. No, I don't think so. Because the word hate, okay, the word hate is an Aramaic word, spelled S-N-A, sna, snake, whatever, how you pronounce it, S-N-A, okay? And it means either hate or put aside. Yeah? Either hate or put aside. So in this case, Jesus is not saying to hate, but just put them aside. Put them aside and I be first. Yeah? Put them aside and then I'll be first. Yeah? So put all your other relationships into second place and I take first place in your life. Now, does that make sense? Yeah? Instead of hate, you know. It could mean hate, but not into this verse. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39 says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Amen? It says, love the Lord thy God first, and then you are able to love your neighbor. Okay? God first, and then your neighbor, or your wife, or your husband, kids, mom, whatever. Yeah? Because if you don't place God first as being your foundation of their love, you won't be able to love anybody else. Not the way that God loves, the unconditional love. Yeah? Okay? Verse 27 says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, seated not down first, and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." You know what? Let me read you the Passion. Passion. And verse 28, it says, "Don't follow me without considering what it will cost you. For who would construct a house before first sitting down to estimate the cost to complete it?" Amen. Salvation is free. But there is a cost to be a true disciple of Jesus. Yeah? See, the crowd, yeah? They love the miracles, healings, all the free food, yeah? But Jesus knew their hearts. Talking about the crowd that was following him now. Okay? He knew their hearts. He knew they desired the benefits of what he did, rather than the understanding of who he was. Yeah? Yeah? They love his gift, but not the life he was calling them unto. Yeah? He loved the gifts. You know, all the healings, all the benefits. But they don't want to participate of his lifestyle, his character. Yeah? When we become one of these, we cannot continue to belong to this world. Yeah. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 in the New King James says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Yeah. He's talking about the system of this world. He's not talking about the people. Because I know he says, John 3:16, he said, God so loved the world. He's talking about the people and that one. But, you know, but the lifestyle of this world, we are not to be participating with it. We are new creatures, see? We have a new way of living now, yeah? We are born of God. So we are to be living the way Jesus lived, yeah? Now, I know there are time to time, we do fall because we still, you know, on this earthen vessel, yeah? Yeah? The life of God is in this earthen vessel. And sometimes this earthen vessel kind of fall once in a while. Yeah? While we're still here on this earth, from time to time, you know, I don't care how long you've been, because we are not perfect yet. But there are times, whether it be intentionally or not intentionally, we still miss the mark at time once in a while. Amen? Anybody agree with that? Hallelujah. Okay, now where am I? Okay, verse 17. So we was reading 1 John, yeah? 1 John 2. So verse 17 is, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Amen. So we must make a choice, for we cannot serve both God and mammon. Okay? That's in Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other." So you cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? Remember the rich young ruler? I think that's Luke. Let's go to Luke. Just a few pages down, 18. Luke 18:18. Verse 18, I'm going to go with the New King James again. See? He's okay? Okay, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.'" Okay? "And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.'" Yeah? So I have been practicing all this from the time, you know, I was young. So maybe that's the reason why I want to know how you inherit the kingdom. So Jesus told him, "You know what? You still lack one thing." Oh, verse 22. "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing.'" See, that's what I mean. Anytime that you think that we are doing so good, then, you know, we have done everything good, you still lack one thing. I don't know what it would be, but just one thing that you lack. Amen. If you didn't have any lack, then you would be celebrating in heaven. He said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful because he was very rich. Amen. Amen. You cannot serve God and mammon. Yeah. Verse 24, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? You know, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. Remember what Pastor Noel said? With man, yeah, it is impossible. But man with God, all things are possible. Amen. Then Peter said, now Peter is a disciple of Jesus. Yeah? And I believe that he passed the test to being a disciple. Because he said here, see, we have left all and followed you. Yeah? So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Woo! Amen. So yeah, there is a price to be a disciple, but the price, the multiplication, yeah? You get multiplied. See, you will not lose everything, you know. All he just said is, you know, place me first so that I can multiply you. Amen. Place me first so that I can multiply you. Yeah? Yeah? Amen. Oh, wow. Revelation 3, verse 18, New King James. It says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve that you may see. So, there is an exchange, yeah? Whenever you buy something in a kingdom, yeah? You know, normally you exchange money with clothes or food or whatever things, yeah? Okay? So, in a kingdom, okay, when you want the anointing that you have to be enhanced, yeah, to be greater, to be elevated to a greater degree, then we must pay the price. We must pay the price. Yeah. You know, Smith Wigglesworth did not came who he is just by, you know, being a normal Christianese. No, he had to die to himself. Yeah. You want the anointing upon your life becomes greater? Yeah. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. I know sometimes it is expensive because the things that you normally want to do, then the Lord is telling you, you know what, just pass on that. And sometimes you should normally do that, you automatically just do that, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes. Yeah? But see, you are placing him first before that thing, you know, activities. Yeah? You see this red eye? My wife didn't punch me on there, you know. Yeah. My granddaughter tell me, Papa, you watch too much. You stay on your phone too much. But it could be true. But it's like, the blood vessel, I think, it pop. Yeah. Too much stress. Stress on the eye. Too much looking. And so you know, when God tells you, you know what, Chai, slow down on your multimedia. Slow down on your activities, your sports. And you should normally do that. And then when God tells you, you know what, do something else first. And you get a hard time. You get a hard time. But see, what you're doing is you are buying gold. Because when you get the gold, my goodness. Proverbs 23:23. Dear Lord. Okay. The New King James Version says, buy the truth. Verse 23. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So there is an exchange. Yeah? There is an exchange. How do we buy things? How do we buy truth? How do we buy gold? How do we, you know, spending your time in the Word? That's the truth. Spending your time in prayer. Spending your time in worship. Spending your time in praise and in thankfulness. Spend your time in quietness. Sometimes you just be quiet. Quiet your mind. Yeah? And you just can sense the presence of God. Yeah? And you just spend time in His presence. You know? Spend your time not neglecting the assembling of the saints. You know what I mean? Coming to church. Yeah? Whenever the church is open, be there. Be there. Amen. So that's how you buy gold. Some of the ways, majority of the ways, is how you buy gold. That's how you buy truth. That's how you buy instructions and understanding. This is where you get your instruction. This is where you get your understanding. Yeah? Okay, let's get back to, I'm not going to keep you late tonight. Let's get back to Luke 14. First, you know what? I'm going to go down to 34. It says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So salt is good, yeah? Salt is good. I mean, when I make my adobo, I mean, I put some salt, patis, you know, like that. When I make my vegetable, you got dineng dang, I put some bagong. That's so salt. But without salt, you will have no taste. Yeah? Without the salt, you will have no taste. Having a salty life is like the life that is in Revelation 3 that says hot or cold. In fact, I'm going to go there. Revelation 3. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And it's talking about the lukewarm church. In verse 15. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold, invigorating, refreshing, nor hot, which is healing and therapeutic. I wish that you were cold or hot. You know, I used to always just read the King James Version, where it says, just say hot or cold. And I always kind of bug in my mind, why do you want me cold instead of just hot? I could understand the lukewarm, because I don't like lukewarm. You know, anybody like lukewarm coffee? Don't show your hands now. But I don't like lukewarm coffee. Anything that is lukewarm, I like them either hot or cold. But it says here that if you are cold, that you are invigorating and refreshing. Yeah? Don't you like that? To be a refreshing, invigorating? Yeah? How about hot? Hot. It says healing. Yeah. If you are hot, you know, healing. That's what is applied about. But the lukewarm, man, that's hard. That's a hard place. Because you're stuck in between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. You are worldly. And there's the reason why that the Lord cannot use you if you are lukewarm. Yeah? So he wants you to be either cold, which is refreshing. You know, when I drink that Coca-Cola. I don't probably, anyways, somebody probably thinking, when you was in the world, oh, I like I'm cold, blank, 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 blank. When I power work. Right? So having a salty life is good. You know, I remember like I was sharing the last time about diving. Yeah? I mean, when we used to go dive, I mean, it takes 2 hours, 3 hours. In the water, you know, because you're just enjoying yourself in there. See, when you are in the presence of God, hey, you know what? Sometimes hours, you don't even feel the hours because you're just enjoying the time in the Lord. I mean, in there is just so much life, so much peace, you know. But so when you're diving, about 2 or 3 hours, and then you come out and you're hungry. Yeah? Anything is good when you're hungry. As long as you just come out of the water. See, you know why? Because they're, you know, salty. You've been saturated in salt. Yeah? So you don't need any more salt. When you eat that eggs, oh man, you just, because you're already salty. Amen. So when you are in the presence of God, when you are saturated in His presence, yeah? When you're saturated in His presence, my God, God can, you know, when you're cold, God can tell you, Brother Greg, your brother, he's having a hard time. He's under the fire right now. But I need you to go and refresh him. Yeah? I need you to go and refresh him because I want him to catch his second wing. Yeah? Yeah. Sister Cheryl, you know, Cheryl, I want you to go minister to your neighbor. I mean, she's been sick for a while. And I want to use you because you are hot. Healing is on you. I want you to transfer that healing power to her. Yeah? When you're saturated, presence of God. Yeah? When you've been swimming in this river, my gosh, anything can happen. Miracles. Yeah? You're fully soaked. See, this is real life. You know, somebody, you know, even right now, somebody is about to kill himself or herself. Yeah? Because of pressure. Teenagers, because of the pressure in this world. And he said, Berna, there's this young man that I place callings upon his life. Yeah? And hell is just about to swallow him right now. But I need you to go and minister to him. Minister life. Use the authority that I have placed in you. Take authority over that. Deliver this person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Is there anything? Praise God. Praise God. You know, I know that, you know, challenges will always come, but see, God wants us to go higher. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to buy gold. He wants us, see, some of us, well, I'm not talking about you, but in general, the body of Christ. See, Jesus has just become their Savior. Yeah? And few has become, allow Him to be their Lord, their Master. Yeah? He needs people who will become a true disciple. The one who's willing to pay the price so that when the call is made, you already paid the price. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. Lord, as we heard your word tonight, that your spirit will blow that word in our hearts and become alive. And Lord, as you speak in our heart, Lord, that we will take the challenge, Lord, because you know our hearts. We want to go further. We want to be those life-changing, who cause life-changing to other people. We want to be used, Lord. So, Lord, as we take that we choose that place to become the true disciples, Lord, and as we go on unto the fire, Lord, we thank you that there are those who can encourage us to keep going and not to give up. In fact, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's some of you that you know, you've been challenged and that you've been wanting to do that, but you just don't know how to go forward. Well, you know, we can come in agreement that God can empower you to just to do that. Yeah? Because we don't want to be just the same this year and the same again next year. Same old, so the world says, same old, year after year. So, if anyone, you know, want to make a decision, and I come in agreement with you guys, and you know, you can come and just raise your hand and come and come in agreement with you guys. You know, no, there's no pressure. No pressure. But if that's what you want, and if somebody wants to come in agreement with you to help you push through, tonight is the night. If you are in that valley of decision, you can make that choice right now. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys receive? I know it's not too long, but it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be long, right? As long as you get the point, you know? Yeah. Amen.